Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
We're going to pray and we're going to jump into a brand new series today as we're in the Advent season. Are you all good? Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your son Jesus. And as we're in this Advent season, building up to the arrival of baby Jesus in a manger, we thank you, Lord, that you want to bring hope and peace and comfort to this world at this time. I pray that you'd speak to us today. Whatever we're facing, whatever situation and circumstances, you would draw close in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you to the worship team. Give these guys a hand. Make sure you drop some comments in the chat. Can we book Christmas Eve yet? I'm not sure. You'll have to speak to someone. Hands, face, space, grace. There we go on. Lots of people enjoying that new slogan. Put it on your social media. Get people talking about it. Write that on your social media and say, what does grace mean? Well, grace means we keep saying, you know, we keep loving people. We keep showing extra kindness towards people. So we're going to start this new series today. Hope is born. Everyone say, hope is born. This is the second Sunday of Advent, building up to the arrival of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on December the 25th. I know a lot of people say, well, was he born on the 25th or was he born in April? I don't know. All I know is we're going to celebrate him on the 25th. And we'll figure out the details when we get to heaven. Okay, so we're going to go to Luke's account of the build up to the Nativity. Now, we're going to look at two unique back-to-back stories with one common problem. Two unique back-to-back stories with one common problem. The first story we're going to go to is in Luke chapter 1. It says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. Before we continue, let's just get some facts. Zacharias and Elizabeth were married. They had no children. And if the Bible says you're old, let me tell you, you're old. Okay, so if the Bible ever makes a remark that someone's old, they're really old. Now, we're not sure how old Elizabeth is. Some scholars think she could have been 70. Other scholars think she could have even been 300. Okay, so who knows that at 300 or even 70, even for Christine Field, that is pushing the boat out. That is pushing the boat out a little bit. Okay, quickly, stay with me. Verse 11, it says, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, said, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth, okay, this is crazy, your wife Elizabeth is going to bear a child. Anyone in their 70s, give me a wave. No, don't do that. And Zacharias, the husband, and if I was the husband of Elizabeth, guess what? I would be on the comeback with this. He says, how? I don't need to go in the details. How shall I know this? For I'm an old man. He's now saying he's old. They're both old. And my wife is well advanced in years. Just a little tip, husbands. Never tell anyone in front of your wife that she is well advanced in years. I mean, that is a schoolboy error. You think in your 70s, 80s, you'd have learned not to. My wife was 39 this week, but this is the last year I'm told that I can publicly announce her age. Is that right? Once you hit the 40, that is, you keep quiet. Is that right, Steve? That's right. Okay. Now, I don't need to get graphic here, but we have a biological problem. Two old people wanting a child. Okay, park that first story. Let's go to the second story. Luke chapter 1:26, back to back. Gabriel, who's an angel, was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Okay, let's stop again and look at the facts. The facts, Mary and Joseph are engaged. Okay? Mary was a virgin. If you don't know what that is, you can speak to Alan after the service. Okay? And an angel pops in to pass Mary and Joseph a message. He says, wait for this. Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Now Mary responds exactly the same way as Zacharias to the same angel. And he asks this question. See if you can spot it. Are you ready? Mary said to the angel, how? How can this be since I am a virgin? Now both stories have a legitimate problem. First story is age and barrenness. The second story is virgin births are complicated. So Zechariah and Mary both ask the same question, how? Now, falling pregnant outside of marriage is a common occurrence these days. But back then, in Bible days, if you fell pregnant outside of marriage, you would be ostracized by family and you would become an outcast in society. And Mary must have been thinking, in that moment when she's visited by an angel to say that she's pregnant, she must have been thinking, how do I explain this to my parents? How do I explain this to Joseph? How do I hide my bump? Now, Elizabeth must have been thinking, falling pregnant in your 50s or 40s is kind of pushing it, but in your hundreds, well, this is just wrong. So if anyone is looking for an answer to the question of how, Elizabeth and Mary are. I don't think Elizabeth and Mary are the only ones who are looking to the answer of how right now, because I think 2020 has been a pretty challenging year. Anyone else, 2020 has been, I can honestly say that 2020 has been the toughest year of Chantal and I's lives. Not in our marriage, not in our, with our children. We've had a fantastic year, but as leading this church, we can honestly say this has been the toughest year as leaders. And I've got a lot of hows, and I've had a lot of hows. I've had how long questions. How long is this pandemic going to last? Anyone else ask themselves that? How long is this going to last? How long before you get to see your family again? Anyone missing family? You haven't seen a grandma or a granddad or a son or a daughter. How long? What about how come questions? How come we've got so many restrictions? How come, I've been asking myself, how come churches have been closed for the first time in 800 years? I ask myself that question. Anyone else ask the question, how come everyone else is getting blessed? How come I have a crazy family? I actually asked myself this one last night. How come my wife opens her mouth when she puts mascara on? I don't get that. I mean, that's just a how come question. Why do you ladies do that? Why the mouth? I mean, it's in your... Anyway. How come? How come we never read about a fortune teller winning the lottery? What about how will questions? How will? I've got a how will question, okay? How will I stop eating these? I walked into Asda on Monday. These used to be £5 a kilo, this kilo of kindness. By the way, they're not a kilo and they're not kind. However, these used to be a kilo and they used to be £5 a tub. They're now 2 tubs for £6. That's a problem for me. Who likes these anyway? Who would like some tonight? Well, there we go. Over here. You guys look like you need some chocolate. There we go. Watch your eyes. Watch your masks. Don't want to crease them. There we go. This side. Watch your masks. Be careful. Don't want any holes in them. There we go. Who's got a problem with chocolate? How will I get myself back to the gym? How will I find a job? How will I find my life partner? How will I get out of debt? Who's got a how question? How? And our question is the same of Mary's and Elizabeth. How? And we go through life. We go through life living with hows. That was the intro. The title of my message today is called The Only Question God Ignores. The Only Question God Ignores. As I search scripture and Bible and read about Bible characters, and I read about the ones, and there are many who ask God how, he never seems to answer them. He simply either asks another question or just presents the miracle. One of the devil's biggest deceptions is he wants you to lay in bed at night with one word, how. Cats meow, humans how.
Meow, meow.
And we lay in bed going, how? How am I going to get through? How? How am I going to get out of debt? How am I going to pass my exams? Now, God is saying to us today, he wants us to switch the narrative from how to who. Now, this is a switch today from how to who. Instead of asking how, you ask, who has already provided for me? Who has kept me from falling? Who has got me through another lockdown? Who forgave my past? Who washed my sins so they are white as snow? You see, the devil wants to get you fixated on how, but God wants you fixated on him. You see, how represents fear. How represents anxiety, uncertainty, and worry. But who represents faith and security and a glorious future in him? So how is the question that God chooses to ignore? But why? I want to give you three responses to that. Why does God choose to ignore the question how? Before we do that, I want you to write down, if you can, or you just think about it, I want you to write it into your phone, a question right now that you have for your life beginning with how. Because we subconsciously ask that question a lot. How are my children ever going to come back to God? How, trust me, I'm asking, how are we going to build this building? I've asked it 1,000 times. So here's three responses. Number one is this: how is God's speciality dish? How is God's speciality dish? Now, my wife, like your wife, if you're married, or your husband, if he cooks, has a speciality dish. It's called sugar-free banana bread. I think I've got a picture because she baked some on Friday. Okay, is it coming up? There we go. Is it up on the screen? Okay, it should be there. Okay, it's a. It basically, when that comes out of the oven, it solves all my problems for at least 20 minutes. You smell it coming out of the oven. Who's got a signature dish at home? It could be a chicken. I think Rachel's is a lemon chicken. Okay, so many homes have a signature dish. And I like to rate my wife's banana bread, the 3 T's. Taste, it's got to tickle the taste buds. Texture, it's got to be fluffy and moist. And temperature, a cake's no good if it's cold. Okay, who would agree? It's got to have some texture, some taste, and some temperature. And when she hits all three, okay. But the thing is with Chantel, unless you beg her or pay her, she's not going to give you her secret recipe. It's her secret sauce. Now here's the deal. How is God's speciality dish? How? It's what he serves up best. God doesn't give you the how or the recipe. He gives you the banana bread. He gives you the answer in his time, but he never shows you how he gets there. Verse 31 says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you'll call his name Jesus. This is Mary. He'll be great and he'll be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. A baby to a virgin. Not just a baby, a savior. The Son of God. That's pretty special. Now here's the details. We don't get any details on how God did it. We don't see any. Did an angel come in the middle of the night? That's some speciality. Now, here's the good news. He knows how he's going to reach your kids. He knows how he's going to turn your business around. He knows how he's going to clear your debt. He knows how he's going to help you find a life partner. The how is his dish. It's his secret sauce. How does a virgin bear a child? I don't know. How does an 8-year-old woman become pregnant? I don't know. We are spared the details. Now, here's what I've realized when Chantel's on Mission Banana Bread. There's two words. Two words. Number one is this: trust. Number two is wait. If you are in a season of asking how, there's two words. Number one is trust. You've got to trust in the process. And the second word is got to wait patiently for the outcome. If you have a how right now, the first thing you got to do is trust God. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, keep acknowledging him and he will direct your path. Trust is the foundation for our faith. I said it last time we were in the building. 2020 is not about understanding the how, but it's about trusting in the who. If we try and figure out the how of how we're going to get back, how we're going to get everyone back in the building, how we're going to get into the new building, how we're going to get through this season, let me tell you, we're going to have a struggle in our minds. But if we make a decision, we're going to trust God in the process, leave the house to him. It's his speciality dish. He can get us through. We've got to trust, and then you've got to wait. You've got to wait. Mary had to wait 9 months, and so did Elizabeth. 9 months is a long time when you're waiting for a miracle. If you're taking notes, write this down. Don't waste your wait. Don't waste your wait. 2020, let's not waste this year away. We've got 4 weeks left or 3 weeks left of this year. Let me tell you, God wants to do a whole lot more things in you this year. There's a whole lot more. We're waiting right now for the new building. We're waiting for church to return back to this new normal. Zechariah and Mary, they had to trust God with their house. They had to trust God in this season. Do not wish life away. Do not wish time away. Keep trusting God in the season you're in. Keep waiting for God. Zechariah and Mary, they both go back to the angel and they ask how and they get no response. I don't know about you, if I get no response, often I just want a good whinge. Zechariah could go on a whinge, he could write a conspiracy on angels and old barren women, but he didn't. He said, God, right now in this season I'm in, I'm going to trust you with the how. I'm going to wait on you for the answer. Someone needs to hear this today. You've got to trust God with your how. You've got to wait on God for your answer. You've got to shift from how back to who. Now listen to this. This jumped out at me. What did Zechariah do and Elizabeth do in the season of trusting and the miracle? Verse 21, it says this: he lingered long in the temple. Wow. You know what happens when we get disappointed, when we get more hows? What's the first thing we want to do is pull back from church. We want to pull back from community, pull back from going to group, pull back from going to be part of a group around us. And what God says to Zechariah is, you need to get into church, not out of church. In this season of not knowing, in this season when we've got more questions than answers, we don't pull back, we jump in. It says he lingered long in the temple. If you've got a list of hows right now, keep waiting in God's house. Keep around God's people. Keep being found, whether it's a church online, whether it's church in the room. Linger long in the temple. Trust in this season. They that wait upon the Lord. We're in this waiting season. We're going to renew our strength. Please do not pull back from church. Someone just needs to hear this right now. There is nothing outside in that world that can satisfy like the love and the grace of Jesus. Alcohol won't satisfy. Drugs will not satisfy. Sex will not satisfy. It will satisfy for a moment, but the only thing that can bring fulfillment and purpose into your life is Jesus. He lingered long in the temple. I wonder where your trust is right now. Is your trust in Whitehall or in Jesus? Wonder how strong your patience and my patience is right now in the waiting. God, help me. That's the first answer to the question that God ignores. It's because it's his speciality dish. The second is this: why does he ignore the question of how? Because how creates fear, who builds faith? Now, my children, Justice Murray and Miracle Joy, they've both just had birthdays, and instead of calling them Justice and Miracle, we could actually call them Who and How. Who would be Miracle? She has the answers for everything, like her mother. I'm kidding. She will give you, if you asked her what the history of Norwich Castle was, she'd give you it. She'd just make it up on the spot like her father, okay? So she has the answer to absolutely everything. Now, Justice, on the other hand, he just loves asking questions. He will ask you 100 questions. He asked me this week, Daddy, how fat is Father Christmas? And he said, Daddy, will you get fat when you get old? That was just this week. He just loves, anyone got any inquisitive kids? Okay, they just love asking questions. Sometimes with Miracle, we could take her into Buckingham Palace and she would just behave and she would just fall in line. She would say everything she's meant to. Justice, I would be a very concerned father. What is he going to say? True story. We went to Sandringham 2 or 3 years ago. I wasn't going to say this, but we went to Sandringham, which is the Queen's winter home in Norfolk. And we did the tour through the house, and Miracle's like this little princess. She had her dress on, and Justice is walking through with his tracksuit, and he just takes off. He spots the grand piano. Goes under the piano, the laser sets the alarm off, and off it goes, and in security, and there he is, okay? That's what we have to deal with as parents. Again, he gets that from his mother. She's from LA, and she learned all those things, so he's a little rascal. Anyone else with some hows here today? Come on, let's just be honest. Who's got an answer to a how? How? You know, one of the questions I'm asking is this: how on earth? We have about 600 people registered for church today. I think that's phenomenal. But I'm also aware we've got another 900 to 1,000 people who won't come today for various reasons. And that's not a criticism. We're all on our own journey. But I lay in bed at night and I ask myself this: how? How are we going to get people back in the room? I'm a pastor. I want to see people. We want to love people. We want to shepherd people. We want to help people back into community. And I understand. I get it. So it's not a criticism, but it's a question I'm constantly saying is how? How? Here's what happens. A how always leads to more hows. Hows lead to anxious thoughts. Anxious thoughts lead to sleepless nights, and sleepless nights lead to living with fear. And this is where we're at now. COVID started with a how, and it's now people who are living with fear. And the devil's goal is to fill your head with how. He knows how to change the atmosphere of our lives. He starts with how. How? How is the facts, but the who is our faith. I love the fact what God does. He completely ignores Zacharias and Mary's how, and he points them straight back to the who. It says, the angel answered him and said, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God, and I bring you glad tidings. Verse 24 says, his wife Elizabeth conceives. Not a word on the how, only on who. You see, when you are a provider, you don't have to ask God to provide, because that's who he is. My children have never asked me to provide them a home. They haven't ever said to me, Daddy, will you make sure I have shelter tonight? Will you make sure I have my favorite Frosties in the morning? Because they know that Daddy and Mum, like you as parents, are already their providers. So when you are a healer, You don't need to ask, will you heal? When you are a restorer, you don't need to ask, will you restore? It's who God is in his nature. The who is a healer, the who is a provider, the who is a restorer. So when I lay back in bed at night and ask how, I have to remember who God is this far in Soul Church, who already got us from where we are before lockdown to coming out of lockdown. I've got to shift my focus away from how, God, are you going to do this, to God, you've already done this because this is who you are. Not a word on how. God rarely gives details, only outcomes. Someone needs to write that down. God rarely gives details, just outcomes. God's ignorance of our how is not a denial of our need, but it is shifting us from our fear to his power. God is not denying you and he ignores you. He's simply starting a process of trusting and waiting in him. Third response to this, the question that God ignores. Why does he ignore it? Number three is, the how will keep you still, but the who brings you through. The how keeps you still. God's plans are to prosper us. God's plans are to bless us. God's plans are to bring us through this season. But whenever I start focusing on how, here's what happens. I sit still. I don't move. God wants you to move forward. It doesn't matter whether you're 15, 55, or 80. God's got a plan for your life. God wants to move you through into the next season and journey that you're on. How will we raise 3.5, 4 more million pounds? That will keep you still. That will stop you. How will you make it through this week? Keeps you still. How will you find your way out of the mess that you're in? Let me tell you, it'll keep you still. It'll keep you in bed. It'll keep you taking sleeping pills. It'll keep you overeating. It'll keep you over drinking. Hows will keep your life anchored. How keeps you thinking small? And how keeps you frustrated? But the answer to the how can only be found in the who. If you're watching online today for the first time and you've tuned in, you've got pages of hows, can I point you right now to the who, which is Jesus? Mary found her answers not in her how or her circumstances, but in her who. Verse 37, God skips all the details. He skips all the questions. He just says this, hey, don't worry about this. He says, verse 8, for with God, all things are possible. For God, all things are possible for your house to sell. For God, all things are possible for your children to come back to God. For God, all things are possible for you to climb out of debt. With God, all things are possible for you to move forward in life. You might seem impossible right now. It might seem unsolvable. It might seem unredeemable. But with God, all things, come on, say it out loud, all things, not just a section of things, all things are possible. God comes along and he says, Elizabeth, Zachariah, Mary, Joseph, I need to do some shifting. Y'all got to do some shifting. God wants to shift some stuff here today. You know, one of the things you might have to shift is you might have to disconnect from how people. You know, there's some people in your life, you come up with a dream and they come back with how. You come up with an idea. Oh, I'm not sure. Or have you got all the money? How are you going to do that? Well, I'm not talking about pushing people away. I'm just talking about in this season going, God, I'm just going to have to disconnect from a few how people. I've had to do it, by the way. Chantel and I, over the last few months, we've had to disconnect from how people. Because if I had listened, we wouldn't be sitting here today. They'd have kept us at home. Chantel and I know that we need to be back in the room. But how people will keep you small. They'll keep you thinking small. They'll keep your business small. They'll keep your people will keep you small. How? And God says, no, shift it from how and get your focus on to the who. First time I shared the new church with a well-meaning pastor, he looked at me, he grinned, and he laughed. He said, I've seen so many of these projects. They just fall by the wayside. Best thing he could have ever said to me. Like, yes. What he didn't realize is God gave me a promise. What he didn't realize is God gave you a promise. It was the same promise that he gave to Mary. It was, for God, nothing is impossible. Your children are coming back to church. Your businesses are going to succeed. Your health is going to improve. You're going to come out of the anxiety you're in. You're going to come out on the other side of COVID. Let me tell you, we're going to come out the other side stronger. A promise, one promise from the who overwrites 1,000 questions of how. Somebody today needs to put their focus back on who and remove their focus from the how. Let me speak some promises over you today to those who are feeling overwhelmed. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. To those who are feeling alone right now, the Lord is near to those who call. To those who are struggling financially, your God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. God is able to bless you abundantly so that you have all things that you need. To those who are struggling in their health, I will restore to you health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. When people ask for the how, you point them back to the who. Come on, let's declare it out this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Brought Elizabeth, a barren old lady, a miracle child. That child was John the Baptist. The who brought Mary, a miracle child, a virgin. That child was Jesus, the Savior of the world. I'm going to share this with you right now, and I want you to remember this. Comfort is never found in the how, but the who. If you're looking for comfort in life right now, you will not find comfort in how. This is why we got to disconnect from how people, how websites, how WhatsApp groups. Because if you're surrounding yourself with people who are constantly how, conspiracy, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get disillusioned. My focus right now is on the who. The how will keep you still, but the who will bring you through. And you might have lived in how in 2020. You've got to tell the devil, I'm moving house today. Some of you, you've been living in Sorrow Street for too long. You've been living in the negative neighborhood. And you're saying, I'm moving today. I'm moving. I'm moving from how to the who. I'm moving from the how to my Bible. When was the last time you picked up your Bible? This is just full of the who. Doctor Who. Doctor Who. He is the doctor. I'm moving from how to the promises of God. See, how is God's speciality dish. How creates fear, but the who builds faith. How keeps you still, but who brings you through. Now here's the challenge today. Why does God ignore the how? Because he wants to show you that he is God Almighty in your life. You see, we want to figure out all the hows, and God's saying, park the hows, give them to me, and trust me, and wait for me. Now, right now, we're going to have a prayer moment. Online, those in the room right now, if you've got a how am I going to get through this? How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to come out the other side? How are we going to survive? Just lift up your hand right now. I'm going to pray for you. If you've got more hows, I'm going to point you to the who right now. Come on. Honesty moment. My hands up. Pastor's hands up. I don't know how we're going to do this next season of church. My focus is no longer on how, it's on who. Who got us this far? Who's already provided for us? Who got us through 2020 is the same who that will carry you through to 2021. Come on, receive it right now. Come on, shift right now from how to who. With God, all things are possible. All things. Father, right now, you see a whole flood of hands. And online, Father, and if you're in your living room, just lift your hand up right now. It represents a how. It represents a need. It's struggle. Father, right now, we shift our focus off the how onto the who. We thank you that you are able, Father God, to bring us out through to the other side. So I speak peace and comfort and strength into every how, into every home, into every business who's struggling. I thank you that a shift is taking place today. We will no longer focus on how and fear. Lord, we will focus on who is the lifter of our head, who is the bright and morning star, who is the lily of the valley, Father God, who is the good shepherd, who is, Father God, the comforter and strength, Father God. We shift from the how to the who in Jesus' name. Come on, let's declare it one more time. Amen.
Beautiful. Come on, why don't we thank our senior pastor? What an incredible word. Not how, but who. My name's Steve. I'm one of the team. So whether you're in the room and you can see me in flesh or whether you're on the screen, wonder whether you can sing that song, I am a child of God. Maybe you're thinking about, how do I get right with God? How do I have a relationship with Him? Maybe you're in a place at the moment and you're thinking, man, I just need to get right with Him. The answer to your how is a who. It's Jesus. You say, how do I know that I've got peace when all around me is like a storm? How can I know meaning and purpose? The answer to your how is a who, and it's Jesus. This Christmas message, he didn't come to give you a list of hows, how to do it. God didn't give you a ladder to climb up to make yourself acceptable. No, he came himself as a who. He stepped into this world because he loves you so much. It may seem impossible. Maybe you're so full of shame, you're saying, how could God love me? It's not because you're a good friend, it's because he is good. He loves you so much. If you're in this room and if you're really honest, you've kind of drifted away from God. You've grown cold in this season. The good news is, he still loves you. He can forgive you of your past. He'll give you meaning and purpose for you today and an incredible future for you tomorrow. The answer is not a how, it's a who. He wants to know you, friend. So it's our greatest honor to take a moment, wherever you are, whoever you're with, whether you're in this building or you're in your home or you're running along a track or you're sitting in your car, our greatest honor would be to pray for you, to introduce you to this God that loves you so much. So how are we going to do that? We're going to pray a prayer. So wherever you are, if you can, would you put your hand on your heart? Come on, all across this room. Just put your hand on your heart. Pray this. If you want to get right with God, you pray this from your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm not in a right place with you, but in this moment, I ask you to come in. Would you come into my heart? Would you forgive me of my past? Would you give me meaning and purpose for my today? Lord, I know I don't deserve you. I know I've done wrong, but right now, Jesus, would you come in? And from this day forward, I will live for you with your help and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Friend online, if you prayed that prayer, we want to congratulate you. Friend, if you were in this room and you prayed this prayer, we are going to congratulate you. So come on, why don't we clap our hands for anyone that prayed that prayer? Now, if you're watching online, then let us know in the chat. Drop us, I think there's a text number you can text or you can email us. Let us know because we want to speak to you and congratulate you. That's all. And if you are in the room today, then when you leave in a few moments' time, as we go out there, you'll see some of our team and they're going to be waving these Bibles. Please, even if you've already got one, just go up and say, hey, I prayed that prayer. Could I grab one of those Bibles? It will be an incredible honor for us to give that to you. And keep coming back to church. If you haven't been yet, next time we meet in January, come along and see us. We would love to get to know you and congratulate. So one more time, why don't we congratulate anyone that prayed that prayer here in the room or online. That's awesome. Isn't that a great message by Pastor John? And how amazing is that offering? Come on, why don't we thank God one more time and what God's done. And well done, Pastors John and Chantel, for leading us so well in this season.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.